David Gallop was embraced by a new sporting fraternity this week when he began work as the new CEO of Football Federation Australia. Yes, for over a decade, David Gallop was the boss of the National Rugby League, you're right. His mild-mannered but straight-talking manner was accompanied by a firm hand as he guided that code to new popularity. Along the way, he enhanced his reputation as a sports administrator as he dealt with rolling scandals from the Super League wars, the Storm salary cap breach and endless player discretions. Well, now he's off to soccer and David Gallop joins us now. David, welcome again to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
David, the Socceroos have welcomed you to the new role with a 2-1 win in the friendly against South Korea last night, a rare home defeat for the Korean team.
Yeah, they're ranked ahead of us in FIFA rankings, so to win and to see the coach successful in blooding some young players was a great thing to see last night.
So, David, now here you are, the head of the FFA. How close do you feel to this code? Because you grew up playing rugby and grade cricket, I understand. You looked after rugby league, as we all saw, for more than a decade. Have you ever played a game of soccer?
Oh, of course. I think almost everyone who's played sports played some football, or soccer as we called it. I've always liked it. I've always admired it. I think Australian sports fans recognise that football is the world game. It's the game that if we can compete internationally, it puts us on the world stage. So I'm looking forward to really getting involved in the sport, and I'm sure I'm going to like it.
We'd better get our terminology right, I think, at the start of this interview, the soccer-football argument. I notice you sometimes have called it soccer, but you're trying very hard to call it football now. I always lapse into soccer. Do we have to call it football?
Oh, well, I think we've aimed for some time to call it football, but a point I made on Monday is if some of us of my generation slip into calling it soccer, then forgive us, because that's what we grew up with.
You've just taken over the reins, and you say we're already witnessing football's resurgence and that the other codes should look out. What's your vision for football?
I think the mass participation is a really impressive thing at the moment, and we've got to turn that 1.7 million participants into active fans. The A-League's only in its eighth season, but it's had a fantastic start with the international players that they've brought in. There's a new spark to the competition, and the skill level, if you listen to the experts, has lifted across the 10 teams. But financial stability is important in the A-League, and making sure that we fund the grassroots. I think there's a bit of disconnection in the game that I'd like to work on, so that everyone who's in the football family feels like they belong in football.
How big is that, the grassroots? How many hundreds of thousands of kids? Seems that every park I go to after school, kids are playing, girls and boys are playing soccer. How big is it?
Yeah, that number 1.7 is massive in our population. And then if you spread that into Asia, I think there's over 80 million participants in the game. And by 2020, there'll be over 300 million people playing the game. So those kind of numbers are things that need to be converted into active support at the elite end, and that connection between the grassroots and the elite end is something we want to work on.
And presumably you want to work on also developing those grassroots players to being future stars. And just on that front, I have heard people criticise the high fees that kids have to pay to register for the FFA. I think a 10-year-old, I'm told, it costs a couple of hundred dollars to register. Senior players a lot more than that, and other codes are a bit cheaper. Is that something that's come to your attention? Are you thinking about changing that?
Well, it's certainly an issue. This sport and this business is building itself to be financially sustainable, and those fees are an important part of getting to that stable financial picture. But it's certainly something that...
Yes,
that,
but you don't want to be bleeding. You don't want to be sort of bleeding the grassroots, do you?
It's certainly a concern and something that I need to look at carefully.
You're listening to RM Breakfast. Our guest this morning is the new CEO of the Football Federation of Australia, David Gallop. In terms of the financial base, the A-League and getting the fans, the bums on seats, as you say, is probably key to that. Trying to find the magic to bring the fans to the stadium. One change that has come in is the marquee player. So the teams now can draft and pay extra money to get a marquee player, and there's been someone drafted from Italy just recently. And we've got some of our stars, our Socceroo stars, coming back from overseas clubs, most of them admittedly towards the end of their career. Is that having an impact? Have you had a look at how that is going and how that's working?
Oh, undoubtedly had an impact. It's put an excitement factor into the competition. Players like, in any sport, players like playing with and against the best players that they can. And I think it's really brought that to the skill level in the competition. It's a strategy or a part of the game that they put in place. And sometimes with these things, strategy can take a few years to really bite. I recognise that from rugby league days when we talked about let's run a competition that any team can win and let's get heavily involved in the community. It took a few years for those strategies to really bite. I think it's analogous with the marquee player rule that we're really seeing that strategy bite in this eighth season of the A-League.
I was in Italy recently at the same time as Sydney bought Alessandro Del Piero, the international Italian legend. And to be honest, there was a few people over there, they all knew about it, but they were chuckling a little, saying basically he was well past his prime, his football career was just about over, and he got paid a lot of money to come and play in Sydney. Is that a problem if we seem to be, our marquee players seem to be at the ends of their career?
Well, it's interesting that because I also was in Italy at a similar time, and I was at AC Milan, one of Juventus's rival clubs, and I asked a lot of people the same question, is this guy past it? And I didn't get one answer that he was past it, and I think he demonstrated that. I was there when they played the Jets, and he scored a quite miraculous free kick. The whole stadium erupted. This guy is a class player. And as I said before, that's lifting everybody involved in the A-League.
Maybe it's the Sicilians who didn't rate him so highly. You've talked too about the importance of the Women's League, the W League. Other codes don't have a developed league quite like this, a developed women's game like this. And certainly it's been said a million times before that parklands around the country are full of young girls playing soccer too. What do you see as the importance of that, and how much more are you going to do to try and nurture the W League?
Yeah, I mean, how good is that? That 20% of the participants in this sport are women, that it's got its own national competition that young girls can aspire to. I think it's a critical part of the game's success and a real point of difference that the other codes just can't match.
And you're renowned for striking a pretty good TV deal for rugby league when you were the CEO of the NRL, and there's the broadcast rights are looming in terms of the negotiation with the FFA. You've suggested good things are in the pipeline, but how is it going to measure up? I mean, soccer just does not draw the same TV interest and TV audience, does it?
Yeah, I think to be fair, I was there to lay the groundwork for the rugby league TV deal, but I wasn't there when it was done. Football's deal is almost done. It'll be announced fairly shortly, and it'll be a significant uplift in value, demonstrating that the competition is now getting more viewers and becoming more and more attractive to broadcasters. So we have to make sure that in the next broadcast deal, we get a significant uplift as well, and that will help grow the sport at elite and grassroots level.
And just Warwick Hadfield mentioned here on this program before the news that he'd like to know what you think about the impact of the rise of soccer on the other football codes, and whether you see as one possible result the two rugby codes merging down the track. More and more we're getting, well, in today in the news, Benji Marshall, West Tigers star, looking to quit rugby league and play rugby union for a lot of money in Japan.
Yeah, I don't see that merger happening. Certainly, if it was to happen, it's a long way off. But it's certainly the case that the other codes should be concerned about football, because football has this mass participation that's on the move and growing, and it's also building a national competition that is getting more and more exciting. The Socceroos will make it to Brazil, hopefully, for 2014, and Australians love watching the Socceroos. So all of those things are great news for the sport and indeed a threat to the other codes.
And David Gallop, just finally, here you are spruiking soccer. It's not that long ago that most of us remember you being the front person for the NRL, and there's still a little sense of sort of mystery around what happened there. After a decade of dedicated service, what happened to you in June when your reign as NRL CEO came to a pretty abrupt end and the Independent Commission announced your immediate departure, citing that they wanted to go in a different direction? That's the quote. What did that mean?
It's not the day to talk about my time in rugby league or what happened. I'm focusing now, Fran, on a new job. I'm a sports administrator. That's what I do, and hopefully I'll make a good contribution to this sport and this business.
David Gallop, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
David Gallop, a sports administrator of some note, you'd have to say, in this country, the former head of the NRL, taking up his new role as the head of the Football Federation of Australia. It's 8:25.